Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is another Redemption Time broadcast coming to you out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And World Wide Web, wherever you're listening this morning, we appreciate you being with us and give an invitation to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we look into God's Holy Word. And then to be with us each week at this same time, 10:30 on Tuesday mornings. Lord willing, we'll be here till He either calls us home or the trumpet sounds, if the Lord's will. Well, we're narrowing down on our camp meeting. And so this time next week, when the broadcast is on that Tuesday, we'll already be in camp meeting. Camp meeting will begin next Sunday on the 15th at 11 a.m. We'll have a morning service. We'll have a meal and then no Sunday night service. And then Monday through Friday, we will be having our annual camp meeting there at 1585 Mount Tabor Road, there on the grounds of Maryville Baptist Tabernacle. Brother Rick Smeltzer is the pastor there, and he is the person who organized and established this camp meeting several years ago, and it goes every year. We give you an invitation to come and be with us. Enjoy the blessings of God with us as we fellowship around the Word of God. We have special singers every night. And we have different preachers each night, and I know that the Lord's going to bless. And if you want to be part of that, we invite you to come. We'll have the big tent set up and just enjoy the good blessings of the Lord. On the 16th, the preachers will be Richard Kleiner and Mike Goodson. On the 17th, it will be Chad Udy, and Leonard Fletcher. On the 18th, Leonard Fletcher. On the 19th, Ricky Gravely and Leonard Fletcher. And then on the 20th will be Chris Smeltzer and Gary Crisp. And so we give you an invitation to come and be with us in these meetings. And I'm not sure which night these singers will be there, but the lineup of singers are the Rogers family, the Watson brothers, the A.G. family, the Heavenly Heirs, and the Joy Heirs. Again, this will be probably the last performance of the Joy Heirs at our place as they are retiring this year. And then in addition to this, let me give you what are my normal church hours, meeting times. And we do begin our Sunday morning service at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 for morning worship, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We do invite you to come and be part of these services. Enjoy the blessings of God with us as we fellowship around God's Word. Well, now we'll get in to the rest of today's broadcast. We'll start by having a song, and then I'll be back continuing our series looking at all of this media blast that we're catching about why people are leaving Christianity. I think you'll be blessed if you and helped if you'll stay tuned for that.
You may think it's foolish what I'm gonna say. I'm not ashamed. No, not ashamed. Jesus, take my sin away. And that's when I was born again.
Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad.
John chapter 3. Oh, so afraid, so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, reborn again.
Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said.
Well, that was Born Again by Sunday Drive, and certainly, as the song goes, you must be born again. That's the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him, and he said, you must be born again, and you must be born of that Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes into your life and makes a new creature out of you, a new creation, and saves us by the marvelous grace of God. Now let's have a prayer, and then we'll get into today's message. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here for each one that's listening. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that we have in our heart as we look into these things, that the Word of God is true, and let every man be a liar. We do know, Lord, that there is an attack on Christians. There's an attack on your Word. There's an attack on you and on your church in this very country that we live in today, by those in power. And Lord, today I pray that while we have the freedom, that we'll speak out and expose the fallacies of this media blast, the liberals that would like to discredit and destroy the testimony of the church and would try to tear down the institutes of faith. Lord, I pray this morning for the lost. I pray that if there's one out here listening, that they'll understand that the days we're living in are the last days, that they are, Lord, subjected to many, many things, and that this is not only a attack against your people, but it's an attack against your word that would bring people who are lost to the Savior. Father, I pray that you'll bless this broadcast and use it for your glory today. Bless your people with it. Convict the hearts of those that are lost. Lord, I pray for the sick today, and that you'll undertake for each one of them. Give them good days. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And keep them looking up, knowing, Lord, that that you are still in control of all things. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray for this election coming up. I pray, Father, that your will be done in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at these things I mentioned last week, we started this series because of the fact that every time I open up the homepage on the internet, MSNBC is the one that my workplace uses. That's the one that I see. I see an attack upon the Word of God, upon the people of God, and upon the Church of God. They are trying to discredit and to bring doubt and misunderstanding to the things that pertain to faith and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust that as we look into the rest of these, we're going to try to dispel those fallacies with the Word of God. It is nothing in reality other than a rebellious generation and a rebellious society rising up in the face of God and denying the truths that have stood the test of time and that will stand the test of time. And the truth will still prevail when this world is on fire and God's enemies are all judged and cast into the lake of fire. And so we find during this rebellious attack, it is an attack on God's Word, because the things that they say that people are turning away from are things that this Bible teaches and things that Christians order their lives by, and the beliefs that we hold sacred, that we base our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on, in the fellowship that we have with Him. Now, I will grant you this. As I do this series, and as I refer back and look at these things that they're saying, and compare them and debunk them with the Word of God, I do understand that the people that write these things probably have no respect for the will of God or the Word of God. And no doubt, bringing the Word of God to them is like falling on deaf ears, but I cannot take accountability for what this broadcast works in the heart of people. I leave that up to God and His Holy Spirit. And if nothing else today, I want you to know, Christian friends, that it's not just you that's noticing these things. I notice them too. And I want you to know that we've done nothing wrong. We've done nothing to stir these people up other than live a life for God before them, and they can't stand it. So the first thing that we talked about last week was that they say there's too many hypocrites in the church. Now, I'll give you this much. There are hypocrites in the church. Not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," knows Him as Lord. Not everybody that says they're a Christian are a Christian. Not everybody that says they're going to heaven is going to heaven. I understand that. And yet, it doesn't matter if 99 out of 100 people go to hell, you don't have to go with them. You don't have to look at them and be discouraged because they're not portraying to you the true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do. So we did say that, yes, there are hypocrites in the church, just like there are people who say they can do things that they can't do, people who claim to be something they are not, in all manners of professions, careers, and positions in this world, you have those that say and cannot do. So that's just part of our society, and it's part of what's going to happen. People are going to profess, but they're going to profess, but they have no possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, the second thing I want us to look at is they say that there are too many contradictions in the Bible. Can I just tell you to begin with that there are no contradictions in the Bible. Now, there are a whole lot of contradicting opinions about the Bible, but God does not contradict himself, and neither does his word. Now, some of this is a result of people who are supposedly teaching the Bible who are not rightly dividing the word. Now, I didn't say interpret because the Bible doesn't have to be interpreted. It is interpreted already. It says what it says. But they're not rightly dividing the truth, not rightly dividing the word. We're told in the Bible that that's something that has to be done. We have to look at it and understand what was meant by what was said. And if you put things together in the Bible, you'll find that there are no contradictions. But there are a lot of contradicting opinions out there. I won't get into some of those. I've covered some in the past, the false religions, the false teachings that are around. But there are contradicting opinions by people. But God does not contradict himself, and his word does not contradict itself. And then the next thing that they say that was the reason that Christianity is falling is that we are asked to believe things without proof. Well, my first comment to that is, well, duh. That's what faith is. Faith is believing. What did Jesus tell Thomas? Thomas was not present the first time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he arose from the dead. And they told Thomas that the Lord was here. And Thomas said, unless I can put my fingers in his hands and in his side, I will not believe. Thomas was looking for proof. And so the next time Jesus appeared where Thomas was, he knew what Thomas had said. And so he said, Thomas, reach over here and put your finger in this hole in my hands and thrust your hand up in my side here where that spear went in and opened me up. And when Thomas did that, he had his proof and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus looked at him and said, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. And he said, more blessed are those who have not seen and yet do believe. I have not physically seen Jesus, neither have you, neither has anybody else. Now, Jesus does communicate with people through the Holy Spirit, gives leadership to the men of God, gives leadership and guidance to the people of God. And so, you do not see him physically. I cannot take you someplace and show you the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has been resurrected into a glorified body and he has gone back to heaven, and today his spirit is here, but he's just that. He's a spirit. He's not a physical manifestation of anyone. But what does the Bible say about this? Over in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter starts off. And if you've ever done any Bible studying or ever heard anything about the Bible, you know that this is the great hall of fame of faith, where God does the roll call through Hebrews of all the faithful ones who died in faith, never seeing physically what they were looking for, but knowing that it was there. And it starts off by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I looked up those two words, and substance and evidence. And the Bible says that faith is the substance, of things hoped for. That word substance means proprietorship of property, wealth, or goods. He's saying that there is reality out there. There is a substance that we are hoping for. There is a reality out there that we are hoping for. And he says that it is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means the support of, or the setting under, or the assurance. And so the fact that there is, my faith is the evidence that there's something out there that I believe in, that there is a reality out there somewhere, that there is these things that exist that the world says they want to see proof. Well, if you go down through there and look at those names, you'll find the name of Abel and of Noah and of Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab. All of these things, it said that these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it also says that all of these died in faith, have not attained what they were, but they all confessed that they were looking for a city. Now, I'd like to confess to you today that my faith tells me that these things are true, that this Bible says. The Holy Spirit bears witness in my soul that the Word of God is true. And the Bible itself says, let God be truth and every man a liar. And friend, let me tell you, when you deny God's Word, it makes you a liar. And if you deny him, you try to make him a liar, but you won't do it, because he is the truth. He doesn't just tell the truth, but he is the truth. And anyway, I am amazed that this crowd that wants to discredit God and wants to discredit his word and discredit the beliefs that so many have held on to and that we believe to be real, they'll accept the hypothesis of about everything else in this world that you can imagine. Can I say to you that there is a theory of evolution that all of this just happened, that it did not need a creator, that just somehow everything that we see just happened? Well, I really don't think that holds very much water. For anyone that has common sense, you'd know that the perfect way that this ecosystem of ours works, the trees give off the oxygen, take up the carbon dioxide. We need the oxygen. They need what we exhale. That took someone with superior intelligence to figure that out and to make that happen. He figured out a way that this world would perpetually have all the water it needed. And that's happening, although people deny that. So this world will accept the theories that people come up with, but they do not accept the Word of God that has been proven out by the actions of people in the past and who have stood true, have given their lives, and have defended it to their death. They believe the hypothesis of climate change. Now, I realize that I'm probably going to wrangle some people here, but they want proof of the Bible, but where is the proof that this is happening? I haven't seen it. Now, I've seen some things, and I know some things are happening. I understand that. I've got sense enough to know things are not like they used to be. And yet, there's a lot of other things that could explain that besides the way they're trying to do it. And besides that, I believe by understanding the things that's going to happen in the book of Revelation in the end time, they are not going to stop what the inevitable, no matter what they do, because there are some things that are just going to happen because God said that they were going to happen, and they are going to happen, and there's no way man can avert it. There's no way he can avoid it. There's no way he can stop it, just like they couldn't stop the flood. There is plenty of secular evidence that Jesus Christ was a real person and that he rose from the dead. The Jewish historian, Josephus, he was not a Christian. He was a Jew. He would not have been a proponent of the Lord Jesus Christ because they said that he was an imposter and that he was not who he said he was. And yet, if you read his accounts, you'll find that there's ample evidence in his writing that this man both lived, died, and rose again. Not only that, but there are numerous secular writings about him that had nothing to do with religion or faith that these people wrote. They just wrote what they knew. And there's plenty of it out there if you really need proof. But you know what? Faith does not have to have proof. The fact that I have the gift of faith that God has granted me, the gift and the ability to believe and to trust him, is evidence enough for me that I believe that it's worth my time to devote my life to him and to take him at his word and to believe these things along with all of these heroes of faith that I have read to you this morning. Now, folks, I cannot physically prove to you that Jesus Christ is real. I know that he's real. He lives in me. I have communications and fellowship with him. He blesses me. He answers my prayers. He does so much for me that there is no way that I could ever not believe that Jesus Christ is real in my life. And I believe if you talk to any real born-again Christian, yeah, they'll tell you the same thing. And friend, this crowd came too late to start their media blitz to convince me that the church is going down. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said Jesus told Peter that upon himself, Jesus, he was going to build his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I don't think CNN and MSNBC and any of the rest of the liberal media is going to do what the gates of hell can't do. And so, the church is not going down. What's happening is, it's getting purified. In these last days, the unnecessary trim is falling off. For you see, those that left probably were never there in heart anyway. Oh, they might have been there physically. They might have made some kind of a profession. They might have made a show. But if they have deserted and left, it's highly unlikely that they ever really were born again and saved. Now, there may be some people discouraged. There might have been some new Christians, some weak Christians that have been misled by the modern things. And I know our institutions of education, they have been opponents of the Word of God for years, even back in the 60s when I was in school. It was not popular to defend the Word of God and to be a Christian and to witness to others about what you believed. It wasn't popular back then. And it's not going to be long. It's probably going to make it very difficult for us to be able to share the gospel and to share the message of Christ. But we have an obligation as the child of God to witness, to get the word out, to try to help other people. Friend, if you're lost today, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He's a real person. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he's soon coming back. And I just don't want to see anybody left behind. Father, I pray now as we close this broadcast. I know it hadn't been an evangelistic message, but I also know that you can work in the hearts of people. If there's one out there under conviction, I pray this morning that you'll save them. Bring them to a place of repentance and salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may God bless you till next week.